جبالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one shall mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worth of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I treat you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I would like to welcome all of you, special our brothers and sisters from Washington DC, who's on the other side from the phone, and Jama'at al-Qawi, we welcome you to join us in our series for studying the book of Bulugh al-Maram. And after that we had stopped because Hajj, today inshallah we'll continue our series concerning the study of Bulugh al-Maram. So, inshallah, today, which is Tuesday, the 27th of April for the year 1999, and today is the 11th of Al-Muharram. We in a new year for the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the year 1420. And this is going to be the first class for the book, a new chapter in the book Bulugh al-Maram. The book Bulugh al-Maram is the attainment of the objective which is compiled by Al-Hafiz bin Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, may the mercy of Allah be upon him. And today we're dealing with a new chapter in this book, and this chapter number 7, and this concerning al-biyu', condition of business transactions and those which are forbidden. For those brothers and sisters who have this book, I refer you to page number 273. And today we're going to be dealing with the beginning of this chapter, which is hadith number 648. Before we get to the subject, this kitab al-biyu', the book of selling and buying and business transaction, and al-biyu' is the plural for the word bay'a. So the single of this word bay'a and the plural is what we see it here today, which al-biyu'. And al-biyu', which comes from ba'a yabi'u, or to transact or to exchange money with other things, which is, can be property or food, or that means for you as a buyer to extend a certain amount of money to be able to get what is the seller has or what he presenting for sale, with a condition that the acceptance from both parties, that means the buyer as well as the seller, they will agree to this kind of transaction. The buyer and the seller, they will have no argument or dispute or disagreement concerning this kind of transaction. This is what we call a taradi, that both of them are pleased with this kind of transaction. So a person who possesses something and he going to present it to you, and in exchange of this you're going to present to him with money, and that both of you are going to be in agreement with this. Inshallah, also something that we have to understand is not every transaction is halal. This is something very important that we have to understand before we get to the subject. It's not because you have something you want to buy and there is somebody who wants to buy it from you, that you have something you want to sell and somebody willing to buy it from you, and he exchange you with money and you give him whatever you got and both of you agree to this, this is not sufficient. Because the commodity or whatever you selling, it can be itself haram. Like as example, if somebody selling wine, okay, although there is a transaction and he willing to give you this bottle for $5 and you ready to pay him the $5, but the commodity or the substance itself which you're going to exchange it is not halal, is not lawful. Although it's called selling and buying, it's called business transaction, but still is not acceptable. You may, as example, transact a certain item, but because usury involved or deceiving involved, okay, this does not make it halal. So it is very important to understand is not every transaction is lawful and acceptable by the Islamic law, even if both parties agree to it. The person, he has to be a possessor and lawful owner for what he's selling. The item itself have to be halal, and the person who's selling it, he have to have the legal possession of it, that he own it in his possession, is not missing, is not he's going to look for it, or is going to come after a year. And the acceptance between both parties, this is part of it. But inshallah, through the class, we'll get to know more details about this. The first hadith number 648, عن رفاعة ابن رافع رضي الله تعالى عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل اي الكسب اطيب، قال عمل الرجل بيده وكل بيع مبرور، رواه البزار وصححه الحاكم. في حديث in collection of الإمام الطبراني and collection of البزار and الحاكم. The hadith is reported by رافع or رفاعة ابن رافع that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been questioned concerning the earning, the income of a person. Which one is the best? What kind is the best income? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answering him by telling him, by working with your hand, and every business transaction which is approved according to the Islamic law. So here we understand that the Sahaba, same way they used to ask about the best deed, brings them closer to Allah, they used to also ask about the best income. Because the best deed bring you to closer to Allah is the relationship between you and Allah. Best income, dealing with the human being, this is also important and is part of Islam. So it's not enough that the Muslim is good with Allah. The Muslim has to be also good with himself, with his family, with his community. He has to be his worship good, and his income also has to be good. And we see from this hadith that Islam encourages a person to work with his hands, like working in factory as a dumbbell, working in a field to plant vegetables and fruits, to do different trades, buying and selling, all the things in good. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you do with your hand. And transaction. But this transaction also have to be what? To be approved, acceptable, according to the Islamic law. So you have a trade or that business. Trade, you're going to be having a means of serving the community through being an electrician or being a carpenter or babysitter or doing certain items by fixing things, okay, plumbing, anything that you can do it with your hand. Or it can be buying things and reselling it. This also is acceptable. So the best earning is a person that to do with his hand or that he involved in transaction. And as I said, for the transaction to be acceptable, to be approved, to be mabrur, that it has to be according to the Islamic law. It could not be something harmful for the other person. So it not be your main concern is making the money, but what you're selling, it can be harmful to the person in his mind, or harmful to the person in his health, or harmful to the Muslim community. So anything that has harm, it could not be sold. So we see that Islam encourages us that we work. And Islam is against laziness and begging, waiting for somebody else to make it for you, or to give you the money. This is not the means that Islam encourages for people to be begging or waiting for somebody to do for them. And also we understand from this hadith that working to support yourself, to maintain your family, is a means of worship and a means of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second hadith, which is hadith number 649. وعن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عام الفتح. إمام عبد المدي إمام can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me? حديث نمبر 649 وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عام الفتح وهو بمكة إن الله ورسوله حرم بيع الخمر والميتة والخنزير والأصنام فقيل يا رسول الله أرأيت شحوم الميتة فإنها تطلى بها السفن ويدهن بها الجلود ويستصبح بها الناس can you hear me? فقال لا هو حرام ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند ذلك قاتل الله اليهود إن الله لما حرم عليهم شحومها جملوه ثم باعوه فأكلوا ثمنه متفق عليه حديث نمبر 649 This hadith reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah Page number 273 This hadith reported by Jabir May Allah be pleased with him And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. Jabir reported that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the year of the grand opening of Mecca. The grand opening of Mecca when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to Mecca and took over the city of Mecca. And this was the year, the eighth year after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Jabir telling us about the occasion and the time, the place when he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, indeed Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbade the selling of wine, dead animal, swine and statues or idols. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam been questioned concerning the fat of the animals since it can be utilized for painting the sheep or plucking the sheep and using it for oils for their lamps. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no, it is haram. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah curse the Jews, indeed Allah forbade for them the fat of the animals. So they melted and after this they stole it and they ate the price of it. Okay? Again, the hadith, according the way how it's coming in the book, that Allah and His Messenger have forbidden the sale of wine, dead animals, swine, and idols. He was asked, O Messenger of Allah, what about the fat of a dead animal? For it is used for clocking ships, greasing skins, and making oils for lamps. He replied, no, it is unlawful. Allah, His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then added, may Allah curse the Jews. When Allah, the Most High, declared the fat of such animals unlawful, they melted, then sold it, and enjoyed the price they received. So, we see from this hadith, walaykum as-salam, some of the items that, or the properties and items that have been forbidden according to Islamic law. One, which is wine, or whatever it causes intoxication and the absence of mind. Now, it doesn't matter if it's solid or liquid. Also, the dead animal. Doesn't matter if the animal is lawful or haram. What I mean by this, swine is forbidden, alive or dead. Lamb and goat, beef are lawful. But if the animal falls dead, you could not sell it. Okay? This is what I mean by doesn't matter if the animal lawful or forbidden. You could not sell it. Also the swine, the pig, and the idol statues. All these items is forbidden. You could not use it. You could not buy it. You could not give it as a gift. Okay? You could not sell it. You could not buy it. You could not give it as a gift. So the question of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the fat of the dead animals. Can we sell this? Can we make business with the fat? Since the fat is not part of the meat, the animal, which you use, the people eat the meat. So they thought that maybe the fat is different. So if the animal is dead, then they take this fat, and since the people have the use for the fat, and they give example like painting the ships and different woods, not to sink, or to be like what you call treated wood, to make it treated, not to be affected by the water and the weather, and also that you can melt it and make oil out of it for kerosene lamps and things like this. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, no, it's still haram. And he said, may Allah curse the Jews. So what the Jews they did? They used tricks. So when Allah forbid the fat, so they took the fat and melted it. So now they put it in a different shape. So now it's not a fat, it's liquid, and they start selling it. So you could not do this. That means you could not play tricks with Allah. Okay? You could not play tricks with Allah. If Allah forbid something, you did not make it in a different form. And now he says this is not a usury, but this is interest. Or this is not an interest, it's usury. I'm not buying it direct from the bank, but only I fill the application with somebody. So if Allah made something forbidden, we could not try to beat around the bush and try to find a means how to change it to get to this again. So now we see three things are forbidden, and in every one of them is destruction for one of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it secret. As example, the wine is destruction for your mind and your health. The dead animal is destruction, and the khinzir is destruction for your health. The wine destruction for your mind, and the asnam is destruction for your deen. Which is that Islam came to protect all the things. Islam came to protect your life, which is your soul, your body, your mind. any destruction to this is haram. And also the Islam came to protect the belief and the Islam and the deen. So you find in the wine this. So from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden to sell or to buy the wine, dead animals, swine, statues, or anything which spoils the deen. As example, books that followers spoil aqidah, books have deviation from the sunnah, books false with innovation, you could not sell it. Because the idol been forbidden to sell because has association, partnership with Allah. You found some people, the jewelry stores, as example, selling crosses. This is haram. You could not do this. The jewelry man selling gold for men. And these things is not going to be used except by men. Like a wedding band or a ring for a man or a gold watch. You could not sell these things. Okay? Also, when Allah forbids something, so the price of it is forbidden. When Allah forbids something, so the price of it is forbidden. And from this we can see the mistakes of some people hiring the kuffar working in their company, and they let them deal with the usury or selling the wine for them, and not for them to touch it. You could not do this also. Now you blame tricksters, Allah. The hadith, as I said, is authentic, as well as the hadith before this also authentic. Hadith number 650, page number 274. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا اختلف المتبايعان وليس بينهما بينة فالقول ما يقول رب السلعة أو يتتاركان رواه الخمسة وصحح الحاكم لحديث is حسن is good. This hadith, hadith number 650, is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi and An-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah and Ahmad and Al-Hakim. This is the reason that he said in Al-Khamsa. Okay? And the hadith concerning the disagreement of the buyer and the seller concerning the item, concerning some transaction between them. When the two people who are arranging a business transaction disagree, and there is no proof to be utilized between them, the seller's word is the final, or they may break the deal. Okay? Because until this moment, the transaction, it didn't take place, and the item is still in the table, and there is some kind of disagreement, or the person said, no, I thought he said this, or that I'm going to buy all of them for $10, as long as they're still there, and there is a disagreement, and there is anything to show which one is right, which one is wrong, who misunderstands the other person. So now the buyer has to accept the statement of the seller, and whatever price he wants to sell with, or otherwise, that both of them go about their business, for the buyer to keep his product, for the buyer to keep his money, and the seller to keep his product. The next hadith, hadith number 651, وعن أبي مسعود الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ثمن الكلب ومهر البغي وحلوان الكاهن. متفق عليه. حديث is authentic. Narrated أبو مسعود الأنصاري, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم had forbade the price of the dog and the payment made for a prostitution, and the gift is given or the money been given for the fortune teller. Okay, again, this also showing us three things that we could not charge money for it, or could not be a form of transaction, and if it's done, it's still haram. Okay? One of them, and this also saying that naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallam naha, he forbade. Number one, we understand that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade is equal and the same like what Allah forbade. As Allah stated in Quran, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet of Allah gives you, just take. And whatever he forbids you, from that stay away. So there is nothing called different between what the Prophet forbade and what Allah forbade. Nobody to come say, oh, but this is not written in the Quran. The Quran said, obey the Messenger of Allah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us this is forbidden, so from that we have to stay away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid the price for a dog, selling the dog. Inshallah will come in more in other hadith, it shows the exception. But in general, you could not make business in dogs. I'm talking about live dogs, not hot dogs. Okay? Live dogs, alright, the dogs that runs in the streets, not here in America, okay, but in, what you call this, not Bahamas, the other place that I went to, in Belize, yes. In Belize, you have the dogs running in the street, not in America. In America, that you don't find dogs running in the street, you found people running behind the dogs, with leash, okay. So we're talking about dogs, the business, buying and selling, giving gifts, dogs, this is forbidden in Islam in general. The second thing is forbidden, the price or the money is given for a woman for prostituting herself. Okay? Even if she agree and the man agree, it's still because the Islamic law forbids this, so this money will be haram that she will take for such purpose. Because we understand, according to Islam, the only relationship that been lawful between man and woman is through marriage. Any other satisfaction or entertainment or whatever you call it between a man and a woman that is not married will be forbidden, and whatever money gives as a result of this is haram income. وحلوان الكاهن is the money that given for a fortune teller. Now if this fortune teller is a person, male or female, sitting in a house, if they reading a palm, or they open a book, or they playing cards, or open cards and giving you different information, all like what we hear today and see on the TV screen, 900 number, 1-800 number, whatever it is, and you pick up the phone, and when you call, now they're charging you $4, whatever it is, or this, what you call the site? What you call this?
Psychic.
Psychic.
Yes, have it line. All these things is forbidden. It's forbidden for the receiver and it's forbidden for the giver. And it's not only matter of forbidden, only is serious. It's dealing with the aqidah, with the belief. Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that whosoever go to a fortune teller, okay, and if he believes in what he's saying, that indeed he disbelieves in what's been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a serious matter, dealing with your belief and your aqidah, and it can put you out of Islam. So we as a Muslims, we are not supposed to use this by any means, not even by joking. Like some people, they make fun and they buy the newspaper and they be reading, killing time, they call it killing time because they have other things, they have nothing to do. They'll be reading what you call this,
horoscope.
This man, you understand, born in December, so they look under the snake. This one born in January, they look under the scorpion, and this one born in March, they look under all the things. Even reading these things for entertainment is haram. You could not do these things. Okay? Neither you can give money for this. Yes. Okay. A person could not even watch this. Could not watch this. You are not paying any money. You say this is not a cable TV. This is a regular TV. But you still could not watch people telling their stories, and they went to the psychic or the palm reader or the fortune teller, and they told them this, and after this, 2 years later, it came true. All these things is still haram, haram, haram. You could not do this. You could not even sit and watch this. Okay? You could not watch these things. Okay? Because these things is against Islam and against the belief of the Muslims. Hadith number, and as I said, the hadith is authentic and in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhim. The next hadith, hadith number 652. وعن جابر ابن عبد الله وعن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان يسير على جمل له قد أعيا فأراد أن يسيبه قال فلحقني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فدعا لي وضربه فسار سيرا لم يسر مثله قال بعنيه بأقية قلت لا ثم قال بعنيه فبعته بأقية واشترطت حملانه إلى أهلي فلما بلغت أتيته بالجمل فنقدني ثمنه ثم رجعت فأرسل في أثري فقال أتراني ما كستك لآخذ جملك خذ جملك ودراهمك فهو لك متفق عليه وهذا السياق لمسلم. This incident happened between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of the Sahaba by name Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. That Jabir, he had a camel while he was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the camel got tired of the trip. And Jabir was about to let it go. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam catch with Jabir,
And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit the camel. So the camel started to go faster in a way that he didn't perform before. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jabir, "Sell me this camel." He said, "No." He said, "Sell it to me with one uqiyah." Okay? That means, which about 40 dirham or 120 gram. Okay? So that means he proposed a price for him. So I sold it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I made a condition to carry me to my family. That means to be part of the sale, the condition of me riding or utilizing the camel until I reach the Medina. But when I arrived there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave me the price and he gave me the camel. Okay? So from this hadith we see the permissibility of the Imam making transaction with one of his followers. Okay? It's not because he's the Imam that he has no right or he can take the things with no money, but here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Imam and Jabir as one of the followers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making negotiation with him to buy something from him. The second thing we learn from this hadith, possibilities and permissibilities of adding condition addition to the price. Okay? So you say, okay, I sell you the camel and with 120 gram of gold, with addition to this, that I have the right to use the camel for one day. Okay? But after one day, if something happened to this camel before you give it to the buyer, it is your responsibility. Okay? Because you still have the camel in your possession. Are you there? The Modi? Sheikh? Imam? Can you hear me? Okay. The permissibility of making a condition, okay? But okay. As example, a person say, "Yes, I will sell you this house with a condition, okay, with this amount of price and the condition for me to remain in the house for 6 months more until I found a place," as example. So you say $70,000 plus staying in the house and utilizing the house for 6 months. So this will be like additional to the price. And both of them together will be the price of the house. Also from this hadith, we understand the permissibility of a person proposing buying things from somebody who did not present it for sale. Okay? So somebody, as example, he may like my tape recorder. Although that I'm not having an announcement about selling it, but you can approach me and ask me, "Would you like to sell this?" Okay? So there is nothing wrong of a person doing this. Also, it is permissible for the person to negotiate the price. And the seller has the right to remain holding to the original price or accept the negotiation. Okay? And maybe tell you, "I sell you this microphone for $10. Okay? So you propose $8. So this is permissible for you to negotiate it. And it's up to me to accept this negotiation, or I said to you, "No, you can buy it for 10, or I'm not going to sell it." Okay? It is very important if there is a condition in the sale that this condition to be known and clear. Because Jabir, he made the condition for him to ride the camel until he reached his family. To Al-Madina, he went and presented the camel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we understand that it is the responsibility of the buyer, to the responsibility of the seller to present whatever he sells to the buyer and give it to him in his hand for him to be having a position over it. Okay? This is very important. He did not sell the fish in the water. Okay? Yes, it's my leg and the fish in the water. Okay? And what about you put the hook? You could not get the fish out. You see? But you get the fish out, okay? And you got it in your hand, you got it in the bag, and now I give it to you in your hand. Now you have it in your hand, now it's yours. Okay? I don't sell you the bird, you understand, that's flying in the air. You see, I wait until the bird come back to the nest, I catch the bird, I give it to you in your hand. Okay. Hadith number 653, and this is page number 275. وعنه, that means جابر, may Allah be pleased with him, قال أعتق رجل منا عبدا له عن دبر ولم يكن له ما غيره فدعا به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فباعه متفق عليه. This hadith narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah send mercy on both of them, that Imam of us, that means Imam of us means a companion, declared that a slave of his own would be free after his death, but he had no other property. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent for him and sold him. Okay? What does this mean? This man, one of the Sahaba, he owned a slave. And this is considered like a property, like somebody owning a car or owning a camel. You can sell it and you can make money. This man, he made a vow that when he dies, that this slave will be free, okay? That nobody will inherit it. He will be a free. But this man has no other money. He already made intention and declared it and made it known that when I die, this man is my slave is free. And this man came in a position what you call bankruptcy, that you don't have anything, you don't have any money, anything. But this slave is still what? Is still in his position. Okay? So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brought this man and the slave and he sold him. And he sold him. Okay? Before the man died in his life. Okay? Why? Because the man, he did not have money. But he have something like in reserve. Okay? So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went ahead and he sold this slave and took care of whatever the man needs and things like this. This shows something that when you make an intention for a sadaqah, that you can change your intention as long as you didn't give it. Okay? He said, okay, whenever I see a poor man, I'm going to give him $10. And you have $10 in your pocket. He didn't see it. A poor man. And now you saw, you understand, you found yourself a desire buying a Coke or something. Can you go spend 50 cents out of this $10? Yes. Because it's still your money. You see? So your intention of doing something in the future, voluntarily, it doesn't prohibit you of utilizing these things, part of it or the total of it. Okay? Is this understood? Okay. Also shows us that the imam, and I don't, it doesn't mean the imam in the community, okay, the imam here, that means the khalifa, the head of the state, he has the right to dispense the property of individuals for the best of the individual. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he did, he saw the man in a condition that he need money and he's not utilizing it. So he went ahead and he took care of this by selling the slave and took care of the needs and the wants of this man. Also from this hadith, it shows us that we should have some priority in our life. What is more important in our life? So if you have needs and wants, and you have something that, like you, optional, that you're supposed to do, because freeing the slave is not a must. Okay? You are not obligated to free him. And this is like something in the future you're going to do it. And you have needs now, this moment, that you should go take care of the needs. Okay? So the person should see what's more important in his life and take care of it, especially if you have needs for something. Now this money that you were thinking to make something optional with it, go and use it and take care of your family or your needs, okay? And this will be more, has priority in your life than what you intending to do as a option or voluntarily act. Next hadith, hadith number 654. وعن ميمونة رضي الله تعالى عنها زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن فأرة وقعت في سمن فماتت فيه فسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ألقوها وما حولها وقلوه. Okay. This part of the hadith is authentic. This part of the hadith is authentic. Okay, without the addition. The hadith is reported by Maymuna. And Maymuna is one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said that a mouse fell into grease, or a, what you call it, a ghee? In the ghee. G-H-E-E. Okay? Butter. Okay? Right. Mice had fell into a butter or a grease, and as a result of this, the mice died. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being questioned about it, he said, through it and what is surrounding, what's surrounding it, away and eat your butter or your grease. Okay? So now, because the animal died, the mice died in the grease, this what is make it impure now. Okay? Not that the mice is impure, but being dead, now the impurity came out of this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to do what? Take the mice and whatever surrounding the mice, throw it away and keep the rest. Okay? And the hadith is authentic. It's in the collection of an Imam al-Bukhari. The next hadith, hadith number 655, we're going to leave it because the hadith is weak. Hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, and in the collection of Ahmad and Abu Dawood, okay, this hadith is weak. Next hadith, hadith number 656, narrated, وعن أبي الزبير قال سألت جابرا عن ثمن الشنور والكلب فقال زجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك رواه مسلم وزاد إلا كلب صيد. This hadith reported by Al-Zubayr, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, with exception of the addition, which is from Imam al-Nisa'i, in the collection of Imam al-Nisa'i. The hadith is authentic as well as the addition, or the narration that was in Nisa'i. Okay? That he, means Zubair, asked Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, as if it shows you how the Sahaba used to be concerned and asking each other, learning from each other. He asked Jabir concerning the money or the income or the price of a sannur and the kalb. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prohibited, okay, or warned us against it, concerning the price, the income coming as a result of selling the cat, or the money coming as a result of selling a dog. Again, we're talking about live dogs, not hard dogs. Hard dogs is halal. If it's kosher or it's halal, it's okay to eat hard dogs. Okay? Cold dogs, okay, dogs, makes noise, okay? This is different. It's forbidden. But the narration that came reported by Muslim and Nisa'i, the latter added that Nisa'i accepted a hunting dog. This is exception. Hunting dog, a dog for a policeman, a dog for watching, a dog for protection, this kind of dogs is permissible according this narration. Okay, it can be raised, it can be sold, it can be trained, okay, and you can get the price for it. Other than this, general concerning dogs, you could not buy them, you could not sell them, you could not even keep them in your house. Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us that a person who keep a dog in his house, he will be losing out of his reward every day one qirat. And Allah knows best how big is this qirat. Every day you lose from your good deed one qirat, with exception of a watching dog or guarding dog or animal dog or hunting dog. These are exceptions, okay? Yes. Keen eye dog. Like for the blind man. Yeah. The police dog. For drugs or whatever it is, okay? This is exception. Okay? Other than this, we do not do anything with dogs. What time does it come to? Imam Mubdi? Imam Abdul Mubdi. Is Maghrib in Washington? Okay, you want us to stop so you can go to Maghrib and get back together later? Alright, we start back at 8:30 inshallah. Is this okay? Alright, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So inshallah we stop here and continue after Salat al-Maghrib if you wish so inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
transaction. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت جاءتني دريرة فقالت إني كاتبت أهلي على 9 أواقٍ في كل عام أقية فأعينيني. قلت إن أحب أهلك أن أعدها لهم ويكون ولاؤك لي فعلته. فذهبت دريرة إلى أهلها فقالت لهم فأبوا عليها فجاءت من عندهم ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس فقالت إني قد عرضت ذلك عليهم فأبوا إلا أن يكون الولاء لهم. فسمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبرت عائشة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال خذيها واشترطي لهم الولاء فإنما الولاء لمن أعتق. ففعلت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها. ثم قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الناس خطيبا فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال أما بعد فما بال رجال يشترطون شروطا ليست في كتاب الله عز وجل. ما كان من شرط ليس في كتاب الله فهو باطل وإن كان 100 شرط. قضاء الله أحق وشرط الله أوثق وإنما الولاء لمن أعتق. متفق عليه. This hadith, hadith number 657, the hadith is recorded by Aisha. And the hadith is in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, which is authentic. And Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated that Barira came to her and said, I had arranged to buy my freedom for 9 uqiyya. Want to be paid annually. So help me. Aisha replied, if your people are willing that I should count them out of them, and I shall have the right to inherit from you, I shall do so. Barira went to her people and told them about it, but they refused the offer. When she came back, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the house. She said, I offered that to them, but they insisted that the right to inherit from me should be theirs. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that and Aisha told him about it. So he said to Aisha, take her on the condition that the right to inherit from her will be yours, for the right of inheritance belongs only to the one who has set a slave free. Aisha radiallahu anha did so. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stood up among the people and after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exalting him, he said to proceed, what is the matter with some men who make conditions which are not in Allah's Most High Book? Any condition which is not in Allah's Book is worthless, even if there are a hundred conditions. Allah's decision is more valid and Allah's condition is more binding. The right of inheritance belongs only to the one who has set a slave free. As we see this kind of transaction, that Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Barira, which was a slave female, and her people, the people who own her, she had made arrangement with them that she can free herself by giving them a 9 uqiyah of gold
that every year she will pay one uqiyah and for them to free her. They accepted this arrangement, but here there is something called wala. The wala, that means when somebody set a person free, set a slave, his or her slave free, and this slave dies, and he doesn't have any of his immediate family that's supposed to inherit, none of them there, or she don't have any family, so the property of this slave that been free, okay, by this master, the property will go to the person who set the person free. But these people, they don't want to accept this condition. They going to sell her, that means she's going to free herself by buying herself from them, but they want to make a condition that when she dies, that the wala will go to them. That means her property, whatever she owns in that time of death, that go to them. But in actuality, the bara' supposed to go to who? The wala' supposed to go to the person who set a slave free, not the person who sell. Because when you sell it, you got your money, this is it. But when you free a slave, okay, this is something different. And the person who frees the slave is the person who has the right to inherit. So anyway, the people, they don't want to accept this condition. Okay? They don't want to accept the condition which has been said by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they want them to free Barira by her paying money, okay, and also the condition the wala is for her. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a khutbah, alaykum sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a khutbah, and his condition, or his khutbah, was concerning people making conditions that is not in the book of Allah. So what is supposed to be fulfilled, what is supposed to be taken a place, is a condition that was in the book of Allah. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it as a condition, is still also a condition being made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And doesn't matter whatever condition the people make, any condition made by the people is still not binding as long as disagree or contradict whatever in the book of Allah. So if there is a marriage, if there is transaction, whatever it is, as the people they making a condition is not fulfilling the condition of the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or again is the book of Allah, and the doesn't matter how much or who made it, it still is not valid. That is not to be honored, even if the people make it as a condition. And the next one, that which mawquf, that means is not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Sahabi, he said it, okay, and is authentic, that he naha Umar an bay' ummahat al awlad. فقال لا تباع ولا توهب ولا تورث استمتع بها ما بدا له فإذا مات فهي حرة. Okay, that Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he forbade to the selling of the mothers of children if the woman is a slave and she has children from her master, that is not supposed to be sold, but it's for him to keep her, enjoy himself with her, and not for him to sell it, not to give it as a gift, and not to be part of his inheritance. And whenever he dies, this woman will be free. So Umar forbade the sale of the slave women who have given birth to children of their owner, that means her master, and said she is not to be sold, restored as a gift, inherited, but he That means the owner enjoys her as long as he lives. And when he dies, she becomes free. Enjoy himself, that means having intercourse, sleeping with her, whatever it takes, okay? That she's his slave. As I said, this is mawquf. But the authentic hadith comes after this, which reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that kunna nabi'u sararina ummahat al-awlad wa nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hay la yara bidhalika ba'shan. And this hadith is authentic, that Jabir narrated, we used to sell our slave women who had born children when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, and he saw no harm in this kind of transaction. So hadith shows the permissibility of selling the master, for the master to sell his slave right hand with this woman, even if he have children from here. Next hadith, which hadith number 660 in page number 278, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع فضل الماء رواه مسلم. Okay. The hadith is the collection of an Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه. So the hadith is authentic. Hadith is reported by Jabir that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade a person selling the leftover of water. Okay, as example, you go, you stop by a well of water in your way, and now you take in water as much you want, and you water in your you take in water for yourself, you take in water for your animals, and after this, now you're going to claim whatever left in the well and you try to sell it, or okay, you could not do this, okay, or water rain as example, is in the land, in the middle of the desert, okay, it's raining, and after this, it becomes like a small lake. A person will come also and irrigate his land from this water, or water his cattle, and after this somebody else coming, after he finished, he don't want them to use this, and now he wants to have the right over this water, and he won't sell it. You could not do this, okay? Because there are certain things which is what we call musha' or ownership to everybody, okay? It's the ownership for everybody, that a person could not possess it because he was the first one, as example, to be there, and especially after already he got his needs and he was from it, he should leave it for the other Muslims. Now what makes this is clear is that this is different from somebody now going to a lake and bringing machineries and things like this and bottling water, okay, or purifying or filtering the water, okay, this is something different now, because in actuality he is not failing or preventing anybody to use the water, and he's not selling the water, but now he brought it in a different means, okay, make it available in clear, clean, in containers, filtering, all the things, okay, he used machines, he used people to bring the water out, all these things is different, okay, so bottling water and profiling the water and filtering the water and selling it, this is permissible, this is, has nothing to do with this hadith. Hadith number 661 in page number 278, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن عشب الفحل رواه البخاري. Okay, this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari reported by Ibn Umar, the hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the sale of the semen of the what you call the male camel or the male horse or the male the bull. Okay, all the things it can be utilized by the people without being a transaction or income out of this. Okay, so if you have a farm as a gamble and you have a bull and somebody won't take the male cow or the male camel or the male horse, okay, to make his female cattle as a gamble pregnant, he could not be charging money for this. And this thing, this shelf is supposed to be provided in free. Okay, you actually are not making any effort. Okay, so, and also to give a means and ways for the Muslims to have what you more call helping and assisting each other, not to be everything a matter of money or not, okay? Especially in things that you are not going any effort in it, okay? You are not going to make any effort, you don't have to make a special arrangement for anything, except it's going to be, now, somebody has to bring a trailer, you see, to carry the horse to the other farm. This is something different now, okay? But if you, like next neighbor, a person wants the male member of this animal so he can use it for the female animal in his farm next door, this is not supposed to be in charge of this. And if there is transaction and money utilized as a result of this, this income is forbidden. It's not halal. Hadith number 662, same page, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an bay'i habl al-habla wa kana bay'an yatabaya'ahu ahlu al-jahiliyyah, kana al-rajul yabta'u al-jazur ila an tuntij al-naqa thumma tuntij al-lati fi batniha, muttafaqun alayh. This is another form also of forbidden income being utilized in the time of Jahiliyyah. This hadith also reported from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the transaction called Habl al-Habla, okay? Which was one entertained into in the time of Jahiliyyah, whereby a man bought a she-camel, which was to be the offspring of a she-camel, which was still in the mother womb. Okay? So he is buying something that is not outside yet. Okay? Like I said, almost like a fish in the water. So he's going to buy the she-camel, okay,
my granddaughter.
Yes, he's going to buy the she camel of the grand camel. Okay, like you have a camel, a she camel now, and whatever in her stomach, okay, when it give birth to this, and this one grow up and give birth, that he's going to buy this one. Okay. Or that I'm going to buy this camel, alright, and I will pay you when the she camel of this camel will give birth to the granddaughter of it, okay? So the first one, that something is not known, okay? And the second one, the second what you call scenario, that its time is not known. Okay, so this calls something majhul, something not known. The price is not known, or the time is not known, or the budget is not known. Okay, and when something is not known, like what's exactly in the insurance, because this is one of the problems with insurance, that you don't know what kind of transaction you're dealing with, because you're paying this installment for $100 6 months. If something happened to your car, okay, now such the company will pay you this. But what is this is going to be happening to your car, you don't know, and how much I'm going to be getting is not known. You see? So when there is a criterion or a condition which is unknown in a business, this will make the business un-Islamic. Okay? Because everything has to be known, condition, size, price, play, whatever it, what it is that you're selling it to me, okay? Because what happened if the camel die, as example, okay? Or what about, everything is not clear there, okay? So, this called deception, or I can say, is a form of deception. And when there is a form of deception, this will make this transaction is un-Islamically. The hadith is authentic. Now here also can be another form that you're selling the baby, but you are not selling the mother, okay? And you could not get the baby without the mother. Or that the time is not known when you're going to receive this. So it is very important that when we make transactions that we have to have things specific, not to have any dispute and agreement, a disagreement later on. Next hadith, which hadith is number 663, وعنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع الولاء وعن هبته متفق عليه. This is exactly almost like the hadith that we mentioned about with Barira, hadith number 657, that al-wala, that means to inherit the slave that you free. Okay? Wala, to inherit from a slave that you free. If this slave does not have relatives that deserve this inheritance, okay? So the person who frees this slave will be in this condition the only lawful person to inherit, okay? So this, what we call it wala, this wala, is, you could not sell it, neither you can give it as a gift, okay? You could not sell it, neither you can give it as a gift. The hadith is authentic in collection of al-Bukhari and Muslim. Again, hadith number 663, narrated by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade selling or giving away the right of the inheritance from a freed slave. Understood? Okay. Next hadith, which hadith number 664, in page number 279, narrated Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an bay' al-hasa wa an bay' al-gharar, Rawahu Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbade the transaction determined by throwing stones and transaction which involves some uncertainty or cheating. This in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. Bay al-hasa, that a person will take a pebble or a stone, okay, and he say, I sell you the sheep, this sheep for $10. Which one? He say, I'm going to throw the stone, and wherever the stone fall, in which sheep, this will be your sheep. Okay? It's similar to this, when you go to some places, they hang in toys with thread, with a yarn or something, okay? And you have like 40 threads collected together. And each one of them attached to a toy, as example. And you pay or you put a quarter in the machine. And you pull this yarn or this thread, and which one it comes, this is yours. It can be the small one, or it can be the big one, it can be the ugly one, okay? You don't know which one. It's a form of a cheating, taking it almost like it's taking a chance, okay? So I'm buying soap, selling soap, put your soap for $5, he say, I will take the slingshot, and I throw this pebble, which one it shoot, okay, this is, will be the one. Now you pay the money, and now you throw, and which one comes, you have no choice. This is it. This is the one you're going to have to take it. This is forbidden in Islam. Also, bay al-gharar. Bay al-gharar, that's cheating. There's no clarity in it. Okay, it's not for sure. Which one? Where? When? Why? Okay? All these questions is there. And all these things always bring about dispute and disagreement, and bring about destroying the relationship between the Muslims and weaken their brotherhood. And we give example that a person will take take a bullet as example. I said to you, I sell you piece of land for $500. How far? He said, how far this bullet will go, this will be your property. You shoot the bullet. Okay, and wherever the bullet goes, or wherever the rocket goes, or wherever the arrow that you shoot, wherever it landed, this is the limit, this for $500. It doesn't work like this, okay? And also from the cheating, a person selling fish in the water, okay? Selling fish in the water. So it has to be known to the buyer as well as the seller what is the transaction involved. The hadith is authentic. Next hadith, hadith number 665. And inshallah, this is the... Let me check the hadith. How much is it? I'm just in the حديث نمبر 665 وعنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من اشترى طعاما فلا يبيعه حتى يكتاله. Okay, إن شاء الله this is our last hadith because the tape is almost indicate a hour and a half. من اشترى طعاما فلا يبيعه حتى يكتاله. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if anyone of you buys grain, he must not sell it till he weighs it. Okay? When you buy a wheat, barley, whatever, anything that you use in measurement, okay, so when you buy it and you possess it, you are not supposed to resell it according to the first measurement or the first weighting, okay? Because maybe the first man cheating you, or maybe the first man, by the time he gives it to you, something fell down or lost, okay, or whatever it is. So if you buy 100 pounds of rice, now you want to sell it, resell it after you bought it, now you need to what? To re-weight it or re-measure it before you sell it to the next person. You did not do it according what you bought before. And this also to avoid any mistakes, any misunderstanding, or any arguments and debates, inshallah. Inshallah, we'll continue concerning the book of business and transaction next week, the same time at 7 o'clock, and we will break for Salat al-Maghrib, and after this continue for half an hour after Salat al-Maghrib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we close here by saying subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam, thank you very much. I'll talk to you later inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.